The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
New beginnings. New beginnings is, it's just the topic that we've chosen. It's the theme for our services, special services that we're having. We want people to understand there is a new beginning. There can be new beginnings in their life in Christ. And I think Pastor Otis explained there's a difference between new beginnings and beginning new. Amen? And so we want to understand that there's new beginnings here for people, for us here at Bethel Worship Center, as well as for the people that need to have Christ in their life. So we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. We're going to read 26 through 28 right now. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. All right, what a situation. Now, we have to recognize that Philip had just been involved in a great crusade. He had been in Samaria, and there was a huge crusade that took place there. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and hundreds of people received Christ as their personal Savior. And there were miracles, and there were signs and wonders, and all kinds of things were taking place. And then after this, an angel appears to Philip and says, "I want you to go someplace." Now, this place that he told him to go was near or on the way to Gaza. And Gaza was formerly a Palestinian Philistine, which is Palestinians. The Philistine city. And it was destroyed in 93 BC. And then it was rebuilt. But it was rebuilt closer to the sea, but the area around it was desert. So this road that went from Samaria to Gaza was a desert place. Now here we got to get a picture of what was taking place. Philip had just been involved in this great crusade. There were hundreds of people that needed to be discipled for Christ. And God speaks to him, sends an angel, and says, "I want you to leave here and go out to the desert." We in our natural mind would think, "Wait a minute, God. This is the place I need to be. I need to be here discipling these people, bringing them along in Christ, teaching them and training them." But God had other plans. God had a specific plan for Philip to go into a desert place. He sent him out into the desert road. He went into a desert highway is basically where he went, where there was a slim chance of ever encountering anyone. This may seem like a waste of time to Philip, but Philip was obedient. And I think that's really important that we recognize the fact that Philip was obedient here. Often God tests our faith through these same kind of situations. He speaks to us, and he tells us to do something that seems a bit ridiculous to us. You know, this morning when Tina came forward, she said, "This doesn't make any sense to me." But then she told me what God said. Didn't make any sense to me. But it made sense to people in this congregation. It made sense to someone. That's all that matters. It made sense to someone. God was speaking to someone. The important thing for us is to recognize it's not about whether it makes a lot of sense. It matters, is it God's will? Are we hearing the will of God, and are we responding to that will? Are we willing to leave a tremendous revival to go out in the desert if God tells us to? That's a tough thing. Particularly if you've been praying for revival for years. What would God, you know, why would God send me out into the desert when things are happening here? Philip must have thought these things in his mind and his heart. But he was faithful. And many times God, if we look back in the Old Testament, I mean, if you look, you go back to Moses in Exodus 14, God appears to him and he sends Moses into Egypt with nothing but a staff to deliver the children of Israel. He had a rod, that's all he had. But God said, I'm going to be with you. So he went in obedience. It didn't look like a smart thing to do, particularly since he was a wanted man. The Pharaoh wanted to kill him. He was a murderer. Wow. Think about these things. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah was told to go to a brook. And that if he would reside by this brook, ravens would bring food to him. Out of nowhere. We don't know where this food came from. It's really hard to say where that food came from. But somebody was hanging beef jerky out and those birds were taking it. You know what? I like to think it was Ahab's household that was doing it. Ahab was out there. He had his servants out there making beef jerky. And those ravens would come along and take it and take it to Elijah. Now, Ahab was Elijah's enemy. You know that? Yes. God has a sense of humor about things. I wouldn't be surprised that that happened. 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman the leper was commanded by Elisha to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. He almost didn't do it because it seemed to be ridiculous to him. Jordan was a dirty, nasty river, and there were beautiful rivers back where he came from. Why would God want me to dip in this nasty river? Didn't matter. It was God's will, and God spoke it through the prophet. If he hadn't had a servant there that encouraged him to do it, he'd have probably walked away without his healing. But he went and he dipped 7 times and he came back up whole. Hallelujah. He was obedient. Obedience is very important. Arise and go. Arise and go is what is the first point that I want you to understand. God has spoken to us to arise and go in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience. You know, I think back about the years that when we were on Silver Ridge. We had this tremendous growth time, and we decided to leave the Silver Ridge Church. You know, we were back up there for Tammy's mom's funeral and went inside and looked around. Some things are pretty much the same, and Ashton was in there, and he said, man, this place is a lot smaller than I remember it. Have you been in this sanctuary? It definitely looks it. But, you know, that was our beginnings. I don't despise that.
That's right.
I want you to understand that. That was a wonderful time in the ministry. We've moved on, and we're doing other things now. But it was a good time. But we came to a place where we couldn't stay there any longer. And what we had to do was leave there and go someplace. And there was very few places you can go around in Meigs County to house 150 people. I think that was probably about what we had at that time. So all we could do was rent the gymnasium in Tepper's Plains. It was a 1-year lease. We didn't have any guarantees that we were going to be able to stay there beyond that. All we could do was go to the place that was provided for us. Now, I'm telling you this because I want you to understand. We left a place that we didn't have any debt on it. We were able to, we could stay there as long as we wanted to. We, it was a comfortable little place. We had a building where we could have dinners and, you know, it was okay. You know, in our mind, I want to tell you something. In my mind, if I would have taken the time to think about it, I would have thought, man, what are we doing going out here in the wilderness? We were headed out into the desert because there was nothing out there. There was no guarantees. But praise God, we were obedient to go.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, the rest of that's history. Here we are here in this sanctuary. Things that, you know, we moved forward. I want you to understand it had nothing to do with Pastor Rob. It had everything to do with God and what God had planned for Bethel Worship Center. And our obedience. It wasn't just my obedience, because if I'd have gone there by myself, it would have been a lonely trip. It had to be the congregation. We had to do it together. And we moved forward together. These are the kind of things that don't make sense naturally. God's going to speak to you and tell you to do things, tell you to speak to people, tell you to go places, tell you to do things that just do not make sense in the natural realm. I want you to catch hold of this, because this happens so often in my Christian life. God tells me to do something that just doesn't make sense to me. But usually, I know that's God speaking. That's right. Because it takes faith to step forward. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We've got to please Him. And that's what it's all about. Pleasing Him and doing His will. And I'm not telling you that you've got to be careful that you're not getting flaky about this too. You know, that you're going to run off and do all kinds of crazy things, saying that God told you to do this and God told you to do that. You need to test the spirits. You need to make sure that you're doing the right thing. You need to ask God to give you confirmation, and He will give you confirmation. He wants to. He will speak to you through words of wisdom, words of knowledge. He will give you prophecy. He will give you tongues and interpretation in the body of Christ. He will have people come and speak to you directly and say, I don't know why, but God said to tell you this. God will confirm these things. So you don't need to run off half-cocked thinking that you have to do it right now, right now, right now. It's in God's will. He will show you what needs to be done and how it needs to be done.
Yes, sir.
But He will tell you to go out into the wilderness, into the desert. And it'll be scary. Be scary to go out into the desert. It's not a nice place sometimes. It's dry. And you can get real thirsty out there in the desert. But obedience is so important. You know, when Samuel told Saul to go take that king and destroy him, wipe them out, do not keep anything, don't even keep animals. And Saul, rather than do what God told him to do through Samuel, kept the king alive, kept the choice animals. And when Samuel showed up, Saul said, I've been obedient to the Lord. Listen, how many times have we heard that from people? Oh, I've been so obedient to the Lord. Well, do you tithe? Well, no, I can't afford to do that.
Right, right.
Where's your obedience?
Come on,
you know?
Right.
Come on. Well, I've been obedient to the Lord. Well, what kind of relationship do you have with your spouse? How are you treating them? Let's see where your obedience. Come on. We've got to get serious and real about our relationship with the Lord. And our relationship with the Lord means that we learn to walk according to His principles, His word. He gives us the light to walk by it. His word is established for us. And when we live by that, yes, then we're obedient. And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect all the time. Hallelujah. Not everybody can be like Pastor Otis and Ivy. I want you to know.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But they do have a good relationship, and they do serve the Lord. And we all see it, right? We all know that they do. So it's obvious in their life. So praise God, that's the kind of things that we're looking for, is walking in that straight and narrow. Now this eunuch, this man that Philip came to minister to, according to Deuteronomy, eunuchs were not allowed to be a part of the people of God, the Jewish people of God. But this man was a God-fearing man. And he was in the house. He came from Ethiopia. And Ethiopian, he was the financial officer for the Ethiopian queen. Now, the queen was the one that was in Candace. That's a title. It's not an actual name. it like Pharaoh. And the queen mother actually took the responsibilities of the operating the kingdom, because the son was actually considered to be the son of the solar sun, and he was too holy to take on any responsibilities, day-to-day responsibilities of operating the kingdom. So the queen mother took care of those responsibilities. And that's what this is referring to. Candace, the queen. This man was placed in a very, very important place of responsibility. And yet, according to the Old Testament law, he wasn't able to enter into the presence of God. This is very important for us to see what's happening here. God chose a person that was an outcast, and he brought him into his kingdom through his son, Jesus Christ. This is exciting stuff. That means there is absolutely no one that can be outside of the kingdom of God if they choose to come in. If they have a heart's desire for God, if they are God-fearer and they are looking for answers, no one is outside of the kingdom. No one is outside of the power of God. Everyone can receive salvation in Jesus Christ. No one's an outcast. So I want to say to you this morning as we continue with this, don't judge the environment that God sends you into. Don't judge the location. And don't judge the person. You know, we have a tendency sometimes to judge people, well, whether they'll want to hear the gospel or not, whether they want to hear my testimony or not. Don't judge that. Listen to the Spirit of God. You might be sent into a desert situation in a very dry place because there's a very thirsty person there. Amen? Amen. Be aware of that. Let me share some statistics with you. So a survey was done by a particular church, Lifeway Research. It says that 41% of the formerly church said they would return to the local church if a friend or an acquaintance invited them. 41%. There's people out there. They're just waiting for somebody to say, why don't you come to church with me? Listen to what God has done for me. You know, when we start sharing, we think sometimes that we have to run out and use the Roman road to salvation, or whatever way you've learned to lead people to salvation in Jesus Christ, that we have to have all these scriptures memorized and everything and know how to do all these things. And it's important. You can do that. But I want to tell you something. The thing that impacts people most is just your personal testimony. By the testimony, you will change people's lives. When you share with people what God's done in your heart and what he's done in your life, that's so important. And that's where we need to be with this thing, you know, this new beginning. We just need to share with people. We're giving you some tools to invite people, to get people here, to open the door for you to be able to share with these people. The rest is going to be up to you. 63% of Americans are willing to receive information about a local church from a family member. 56% are willing to receive it from a friend or a neighbor. People are willing. They're waiting. They're looking for somebody to invite them. But we have to be ready. We have to know these people are dying. We have to catch hold of this. Listen, I'm asking God to give me a real passion for souls.
Yes, sir.
It's so important. Man, that's what the kingdom is all about. Is souls, bringing people into the kingdom of God, saving them from eternal damnation so that they do not have to suffer throughout eternity, and bringing them into the kingdom of God. And yet, we're watching people day after day go into eternity without Christ. And I'm sorry to say, in our society, probably maybe not so much in our community, but in our society overall, there's a lot of people that don't know the gospel message. They've not heard it. Because it's been so watered down. People are afraid to speak the truth about the blood of Jesus. The fact that he died, he hung on the cross, he shed his blood, he came back to life so that you could have eternal life. He was in your place. He took your place.
That's right.
Amen. It's important that we recognize and we ask God for a passion for this, because these people are truly dying. But our society is filled with apathy. Recently, there was an article in a newspaper in Washington, D.C. It actually talked about something that took place on the street. And there was a camera, a surveillance camera outside of a store. And this camera caught two men arguing. Now, this was in a bad part of town. The article implied that these men were probably either drug addicts or winos, alcoholics. Whatever the situation, they were not real pleasant people probably at that time in their life. But they got in an argument. And the one guy sucker punched the other one and knocked him down. He hit his head on the curb. Knocked him out. And he lay there for hours and hours. The surveillance camera showed that 166 people walked by this man while he was there, and no one did anything. A couple of them walked over and looked at him and then just walked on. Finally, a clerk in one of the stores called 911. They came and got him. 3 days later, he died in the hospital. No one knows who he was. No. Had the camera not caught it, no one would have even cared, probably. Isn't that crazy? That's where. But I want you to understand, that same thing is happening spiritually. We're walking by people every day of our life, and we're missing opportunities. Oh, God, give us a burden. Help us. Help us to arise and go in Jesus' name. Verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. Listen, let the Spirit of God guide you. This is important. It's interesting to note that an angel spoke to Philip and said, I want you to go. But once he got there, what spoke to him? The Holy Spirit that lived inside of him. He was given specific directions to go. We're given specific directions to share our testimony with people, to share the gospel. It comes from his word. Yes, sir. We don't really need God to say, I want you to go over here or go over there. We know he wants us to go. Right. Wherever we are, we're supposed to go and do his work. But once we're there, then we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to speak to us and give us specific direction of what to do and how to do it. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and wants to give you direction and guidance so that you can speak directly to people's needs. I think that's what the gifts of the Spirit are all about. You know, thank God they operate here in this place. But I believe they are much more powerful when they operate out there. And when we speak into people's lives.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. And we got to be careful that we don't quench the Spirit. Several years ago, when it's been many years ago, when we were working at Children's Services, I had a gentleman that I talked to quite often. His name was John. And we developed a pretty good relationship. And he came, and we would talk on a regular basis. And then he started getting to the point where he would share intimate things with me. And he was estranged from his mother. His mother had just done some things, and they had had a real difficult relationship. And he hadn't talked to her for, I don't know, a couple of years, I think, at that point. So he told me about it. I said, well, you know what? I believe God wants to mend that relationship. Let's pray. So we prayed about it. And the next day, he came back to me, and he said, you won't believe this, but my mother called me last night.
Glory.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
That's my God.
That's right.
And that's what I had an opportunity to say to him. Yeah, yeah, God works that way. When we really have needs, he loves you so much that he wants to meet that. He wants to mend that relationship. He wants to bring it back together. Now, you know, praise God, he was saying, oh, man, you that was wonderful, thank you. I said, don't thank me, thank God. Yes. He's the one that did that. I'm just an obedient servant of his, but thank him for doing that. Now, I wish I could say that I'm bold like that and I do that kind of stuff all the time. I'm not. I want to be. Do you?
Yes, sir.
You want to be in that position where you're hearing God and you're ministering to people wherever you go? Yes. That's what I want in my life.
Yes,
not that I'm, you know, it makes me anything. It makes God everything.
Yes.
It makes God alive in
yes.
people's lives.
Yes.
They can see that there is a real God. This is not make-believe stories in some book that was written hundreds of years ago. This is a real God that lives today and cares about you.
Amen.
Cares about me.
Yes, he does.
Amen. We got to listen to him. Amen. Arise and go and let the Spirit guide you. Verse 30. We're going to wrap this up before long. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Wow. He ran to him. The Holy Spirit said, go over there. So he ran over to him and he looked for an opportunity. We need to look for opportunities in people's life. Hear what's going on in their life. Hear what they're saying. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us, but look and see the opportunities to minister to people. In Romans 8:5, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, things of the Spirit. Listen, I believe that God's people are too preoccupied with the things of this world.
Yes. Yes.
I blame myself as much as, you know, I'm not just pointing fingers at you. Sometimes I get too preoccupied with life and doing this and doing that and accomplishing this and accomplishing. When I have a task that is before me, I have a tendency that I can only focus on that one thing. Tammy's a multitasker. She can do, you know, different things. She can cook and do dishes and shake the dog off her leg at the same time. She's been doing that a lot lately, a little pup yapping around her legs. Chrissy, you know what she's talking about, don't you? Yeah. She can do all kinds of, she can, you know, she just does. She works on the computer and does other things at the same time. She's a multitasker. I'm not. I am single-minded. And I am like a bulldog. When I have a task before me, I get a hold of it, and I don't stop until I get it done. But I stay on that task. And that is a problem when it comes to ministering to people, because if I have a physical job that I need to do, rather than minister to people, I have a tendency to focus on that task. God's not called me to do that task. I want you to know I have a problem with that, and I'm trying to work on it. God's called me to people. And to minister to people. So pray for me. Pray that I'll stay on task with the ministry that God has for me. But we need to look for opportunities and look around and recognize that God has opportunities and he will make opportunities for us. All we have to do is hear what his Spirit says and operate according to that Spirit as he guides and directs us constantly. We can hear his voice, and he will give us opportunities, but we have to be listening to it. All right. Look for opportunities. The last thing is, arise and go. Let your Spirit guide you. Look for opportunities. Number 4. Now, this really kind of ties in. Verse 31. And he said, how can I lest someone guide me? Verse 30, I'll read 30 again. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I lest someone guide me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. This one, I think, speaks to us making sure that we take time to hear what people are saying. We need to listen to them. It's hard in our society. I know, we're running here and there and everywhere, and what I just mentioned to you about my single-mindedness. Sometimes I get caught up in that stuff. But I need to take time to understand and hear people's situation. Take time to be together. Take time and hear what other people are going through. We've got to encourage and lift each other up. I believe we are living in perilous times. We need each other in a tremendous way. But we need to take time with people. Everybody stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited to be able to share this message with you. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about our ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.